We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Mark Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Appreciate you joining me on this Thursday. If you're watching online, you'll notice I have a guest in the studio, but you have to just look at him for a minute while I hit a couple of headlines, and then I'll introduce those of you at home. It's painful to have to look at Tristan.
I know. I have a face for radio, so I thought I wasn't going
to
be on
it's
screen.
It's bad enough they have to look at me. Now they got to look at both of us. It's really bad. So now we're just going to make everybody wonder until I get back to you. All right, I'm going to make this really quick. There's just two things I have to point out, and then once we get to the phones, you guys can bring up whatever topics you want. But I'm super annoyed that Robert Malone is basically saying, I'm done. I'm tired. I understand from his perspective. I'm just annoyed that the swamp is so swampy. Here you got a guy that for a year and a half, has given of his own time, his own money to serve, to try to straighten out our vaccine nightmare out of Washington, D.C. with the Center for Demented Confusion, and they've just frustrated him to death. And, of course, we had that silly judge basically saying he gets to make the health policy for America, even though he's not elected by anyone. And so that's just been kind of the – that wasn't the final straw for Malone. The final straw was that the – Health and Human Services Department, the legal department, has not even said yet whether or not they're going to appeal that decision. So anyway, for those of you that have been listening on a regular basis, you know I've already been ranting about this one for a while, but I just got to tell you, I still think we've had victories at the CDC and FDA and what RFK has done. He has done more than I thought would be possible, and they've already had tremendous victories. But this one is a loss for sure, and I think it really comes down to not that RFK's not willing to fight this fight or that Trump's not willing to fight this fight. There's just only so many whack-a-moles you can handle. I mean, they're literally just fighting on every front, and these district judges overruling the policy of the people that were actually put in place by the American people. So here's a president elected with an incredible majority, with a clear mandate on all of these things, and being thwarted by these unelected, unaccountable lawyers serving as you know, basically witches in white black robes. And I say that because of the courtstitution that they create, which is like a witch's brew. And so I don't mean that to say they're actual witches, though I think that some of them might be. All right, last one, Iran, ongoing battle. I did share, if you're not following me on X, go to my X channel and look at that article I just shared about 20 minutes ago from Newt Gingrich. It says everything I've been saying here on the show, but more eloquently, because he's more eloquent. Most everybody's more eloquent than I am, but Newt always says it in an incredible way. And it's basically this. It's a more detailed description of what I've been saying, that we don't know if the soil in Iran is still good enough, if there's solid enough soil to put – not solid's the wrong word – if there's fertile enough soil to put the seeds of liberty in and actually bear fruit. And I've said from the beginning, we just don't know, and we won't know until we see if the Iranian people rise up and actually get completely rid of this regime. And what Newt was explaining is when you have these true believers that dig in the same way that the Taliban did in Afghanistan, the same way in Iraq, I mean, even in Vietnam, I mean, it just gives a lot of great examples. And you just don't know if 47 years has been long enough for them to eradicate the good soil and only have bad soil as a result of the education system and the indoctrination. And we won't know that for a little while. I think that's essentially what Newt's saying in the article, but that Trump is going to have to make a decision sooner rather than later. And I said in my post, I'll say it one more time, even if Trump decides after this 5-day pause, you know what, we're done. We've done all we can. We're pulling out. best of luck to you guys. That's still a home run because we set them back for decades, and we interrupted a lot of the terrorism. We gave destroyed a lot of the bad stuff. That in and of itself would have been worth it. But if they actually rise up, and if the soil is good enough that those seeds actually bear fruit, then we're talking about seismic, tectonic, I don't have big enough adjectives, world change as a result of Iran actually no longer having that regime and becoming a free people again. And potentially, if some of the prophecies I've heard from guys that I think have been incredibly accurate over the last 5 years turn out to be true, Iran could go back to becoming a blessing to the world, much as they were when they were actually Persia and essentially a friend to the Jewish people and to the world. So who knows what'll happen. All right, that's my two news items. Now to my guest in studio, Tristan Gazelle, my good friend of, well, 2 decades now?
Almost.
I think it's been nearly
almost two decades.
Yeah, one of our super coaches in Patriot Academy and one of our faculty here at the Patriot Institute. And you had the scholars this morning and yesterday. Yesterday, yep. Beating up on them in some a little Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
They were beating each other up.
Were they? You don't beat them up?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Do.
All right.
But I'm at the end when they want extra credit. That's not the curriculum.
So now you've taught them to beat each other up.
Correct.
Good. Okay, good.
Yes.
And then today, what were you working on with them?
We went over leadership concepts. Excellent. Entrepreneurship. Excellent. And made sure that they understood that it didn't matter what endeavor they were pursuing after leaving the Institute, that they had those leadership principles intact, because everything rises and falls on leadership.
Amen. Amen. All right. And you get them what, like 2 days a month, basically?
Correct.
So you've been pouring. You've been doing communications training with them, leadership training, goal setting. I mean, all kinds of life skills.
Correct.
And I wanted to have you on because, you know, the folks at home, sometimes it gets bleak as maybe you only see the defeats out there, or you're around young people that aren't motivated like these scholars are,
right,
to better their lives and be leaders. And so they need to hear some good news. And so, you know, what have you kind of seen over the last, I guess now almost eight months that we've had them, as you've watched them from the time they came in September to now, having had 8 months with you and with Chris and with me and with all the other folks that we bring to them, what have you seen in terms of their growth, in terms of just like what it's been like to be around young people like that?
It's very encouraging. If you're getting any hints that the battle's losing or that we need reinforcements, rest assured, Patriot Academy's sending reinforcements. We've got a great like batch of scholars that we've been working on for the last 8 months, and encouraged is the reason I come down here.
Yeah.
And I get to come down after they've been with Rick and Krish for a month. And now they're getting a very different flavor when I come down, because when I come down the first morning, they get an extra hour of, I don't want to say sleep because they're usually not sleeping, but I start them an hour later, but we're on the mats. I'm teaching them Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And 3 hours of grappling is a lot. But watching them progress and understand the concepts and the principles and how they transfer to everyday life, because one of the many amazing intangible benefits Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu teaches you is the difference between pressure and pain. It's like, no, that's, you're uncomfortable. You're like, you're not in danger, you're just uncomfortable. And you can endure discomfort for an infinite amount of time. And understanding advancing your position, understanding that there's never a position that you can't come back from, that submission isn't something that is a ultimate failure thing. It's a, you didn't do something correctly in that sequence. Now you get to go redo it. It's just been really cool to watch them progress there. And then
you get a chance to take them from the mats and that physical training that has mm-hmm. life application into the classroom and talk about that life
correct.
Application and actually start putting that life plan together for when they leave here.
Yep. And so Rick's done a great job of helping them find their purpose. And so my role in coming in is like, okay, as an entrepreneur, someone who owns, I now own 4 profitable businesses. I think everyone says successful businesses too loosely. It's like, I have a successful business. Like,
it exists.
It exists.
It should be existing businesses instead of successful businesses.
Right.
Right?
Oh, I mean, are you paying taxes? I mean, that's yeah. the question. If the IRS is coming after you, okay, you made some money, right?
Yeah.
And so we've talked about just the power of the spoken word, how to control your thoughts, how to map out your destiny with practical steps of what I need to do daily, weekly, monthly in order to accomplish that. Basic health and fitness concepts. We've gone over nutrition. We've gone over how to take care of the temple of their bodies and understanding what time management and calendar planning looks like right now before you have a wife, before you have children, how to pursue your purpose but compartmentalize the things that really matter long term, like your walk with, in faith. We went over the five S's today, which is scripture, speaking, stretching, sweating, and synchronizing. Instead of waking up with your cell phone and letting the day get away from you, starting your day intentionally. And so it's lots of very, I'm coming in with very practical things because as the Neanderthal of the Patriot Academy faculty, I need to come in with the basic stuff or else no one's listening to me.
Well, actually, I want to talk about your testimony too before we before this program's over. Anybody that wants to call in, 888-589-8840, and we will come back to headlines before the program's over. But part of the reason we love having you on staff and the kids getting to hear from you is because your journey is so not unique, I shouldn't say, but it's so powerful. You went from being I can't remember the phrase you used, but basically a fire-breathing atheist that hated Christians.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. to now just an evangelist in everything that you do. So that's a big shift, and you've been sharing that with Patriot Academy students for, what, 10, 12 years now that you've been coming down and speaking at the Academy.
First time I spoke for you guys was over a decade ago.
Wow. So, man. Time flies, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let's talk about that. So we got, you know, you go back did you come in out of a family of faith? I can't remember.
No.
So your parents were atheists as well.
I classify them as angry agnostics that identify as Catholic. So we went Christmas and Easter sometimes. They had me go through CCD, but the priests and the people teaching were never able to.
CCD is like catechism?
Is that
what that is?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But they were never able to explain to me the basics. I was just like, why did he die? Like, I understand Jesus died for my sins, but what did I do? I'm like, I didn't kill anybody. I didn't steal anything. And they just never really got a good macro concept of the faith. And kind of fell away very quickly upon entering adulthood because I'm like, I don't want to go. They don't go to church. Why would I go to church? And just moved to the buckle of the Bible Belt in 2001. And
you've always struck me as someone that would not waste time in something that you didn't see was going to have
any value,
a benefit. In it. Yeah.
Correct. And I moved to Texas, and there were very pretty girls who went to church. So
I went. You saw a benefit.
I saw a benefit. Yeah. So I went, and the hypocrisy was wild. It was. I went with this gal who said, "Oh, you want to go to church with me?" I'm like, "Oh,
you go anywhere
great.
You want.
I'll go wherever you want." And so we would go to church, but they would act just like us outside of church. And I'm like, "This is stupid. Okay, I really don't believe." And all the way up until age 22, I got a business started, and the guy who brought me into business kept quoting scripture, but he was masculine, very backwards from all of the churchy people I met.
All the skinny jeans wearing.
Yeah, his pants leaders. Fit correctly. Yeah. He was masculine, he was bold, and quoted a lot of scripture and was living out what was very obvious, a very different way to live. Mm. And I was very attracted. I was like, this is cool. And I went to a major weekend conference, and the main speaker, very successful in his own business, great family, great benevolency.
So you're looking at the fruit you want.
Correct.
Yeah.
I saw fruit on the tree, and I was like, okay, this guy obviously thinks different. And they had a non-denominational Christian worship service that morning for anyone who was away from their home church, optional. I went, and that was the first time I'd heard the gospel in its entirety in a really simple way. And God grabbed me, literally, guy who was speaking, his name Joe, he's like, hey, if you want me to pray with you, come on up front, I'll pray with you. And I'm like, I'm not going, no way. I'm like, I'm convicted, I definitely want salvation. And God audibly told me go. And I'm like, that wasn't the two people sitting next to me for sure.
Wow.
So ran to the front, box jumped onto the stage. I didn't know what an altar call was.
Yeah, now wait, guys, as you're listening to this, you got to picture this. So most people, when they go down front at an altar call, they go down front and they keep facing the speaker, preacher, whoever it is, right?
Yeah.
Tristan is so all in everything he does. Go ahead.
Yeah, I ran. I'm wearing Homer Simpson flip-flops. This is a business conference. Everyone's dressed up. I'm wearing Homer Simpson flip-flops, baggy jeans, and a hoodie, and my hair is like, I had a lot of hair back then. And I went and jumped, probably a 3-foot stage. I jump on the stage to get next to the guy speaking. He said he's going to pray with me. God just told me to go, so obviously I'm supposed to go. I had no point of concept. It freaked him out, obviously.
He's like, is this guy attacking me?
Right. What?
Yeah.
But no, I he walked me through the very traditional sinner's prayer, and I made Jesus Lord of my life, and I just took it literally.
Wow.
And I radically saved. Called my then fiance, now wife. She's like, what kind of cult meeting are you at? And called my parents because they're like, hey, tell somebody. And I'm telling everybody. I'm like, this is freaking great. I don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell either. No matter how bad you screwed up, you just gotta ask forgiveness and die to yourself, and Jesus will resurrect you from the dead. I'm like, this is freaking great. And I've been saying that for 19 years now.
Oh,
November, it's either 17th or 19th of 2006.
And he's made you an incredible vessel to share that as well. And I love that picture. Every time you tell your testimony, just that image of really being all in and being so grateful for that salvation.
Yeah, I haven't gotten over it yet.
Yeah, and then the exuberance to want others to be able to enjoy that. Powerful. All right, we got a lot more in our program today, and we will get to the phones and to more headlines. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You are listening to At the Core with Walker Wild.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
We're back here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. By the way, just listening to that commercial there, wildmangroup.com. Go there. I'm telling you, these tours are amazing. And I don't even know which one they were talking about, but if you get to go with Tim Wildman and Stephen McDowell, and sometimes Tim Barton goes on those, and you get to go to Boston and all these cool places. If you get a chance to do, there's nothing like walking in the footsteps of the Founding Fathers. Cool, cool stuff. All right, we got Tristan Gazelle in studio with me. Hi. In the middle of your testimony. Then we'll get to more of the other things. But so you give your life to the Lord,
yep.
Radically saved, go from being a fire-breathing atheist,
yep.
To now a George Whitfield going everywhere you can to share the gospel.
That is a flattering comparison. I'll take that all day.
I see you as being like Whitfield, though. You would ride a horse up and down the colonies and 18,000 sermons.
Absolutely.
You'd be glad to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You would probably build the little makeshift, you know, travel, not podium, but kind of like stage thing that he had. Not stage, but what is it, if it's just you?
Well, it's soapbox, but I mean...
Yeah, soapbox works.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, but like a makeshift stage and podium.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would totally do it.
So April 3rd, A Great Awakening's coming out.
Ooh.
And I got to screen it, and dude... I'm telling you,
I don't want to. I wonder why you didn't invite me.
Because it was in my living room, and you were in Dallas.
Yeah, but I would have. I've been to your living room a lot.
You would have driven all the way down just to watch that.
I would have.
Yeah. I cried, man. I cried multiple times. The scenes in the Constitutional Convention. You know me. I'm like, no. It's hard to do that without it being cheesy, and they did it. They did it. It's the Sight and Sound people. Have you ever been to one of those in Lancaster? They have one, and then in Branson. I haven't either. Cameron, my daughter, you know Cameron. Mm-hmm. She's been to a couple of those. She says it's the best production she's ever seen. I've watched on video one of them, and it is remarkable. I mean, they're first class. Anyway, the movie A Great Awakening shows the relationship between Ben Franklin and George Whitfield, and it's
wow.
So cool. The best line in maybe the whole movie, but definitely in the trailer, is when Franklin's grandson says he's like they're rummaging through all these papers that they're going through and they come across a bunch of Whitfield stuff, and the grandson says to Ben Franklin, like, I didn't know you hung out with a pastor, Grandpa. That's, you know, that surprises me.
Yeah.
And so was this Whitfield guy part of the revolution? And there's a pause, and Franklin looks off, like, you know, into the distance, and he goes, George Whitfield was the revolution.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's so true.
Well,
that's
I read Stephen Mansfield wrote that book, and I had no idea. Like, they're literally taking pieces of the man's bones to battle.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, I'm like, okay, I obviously
tore
missed this.
Tore off robe pieces and everything. Yeah.
California public schools did not highlight that story. And I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just flabbergasted that there was so much of our history that we just...
Well, you know David Barton well. David is kind of a George Whitfield of today because he
does
400 presentations a year. He's done that for 35 years now. Just literally like, and he rides horses a lot, but he doesn't travel the country by horseback. So, anyway,
he should recreate that ride.
Yeah. Oh, that would be cool.
That actually,
that
might
be
very something.
Cool. Well, watch, you definitely go to the movie. It's April 3rd is, opening day, and it's always good.
Yeah, I'll take a group.
Yeah. Take a big chunk of your group. I'm going to take a bunch of the scholars and, that always helps, as you know, produce more good films, right? Correct. If they have a good opening day, they get more theaters.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, like, always take some films that you want to see more of made. Take people on opening weekend. They use opening weekend as the metric on how the market receives whatever they're presenting. So if it's a movie you don't like, don't go. But if you do like and want to see more of, take a group. Yeah. Like, take people.
Hey, before we go to the phones, talk to me about the Empty Hand Defense course that you've developed for us, because you and I have been training with firearms together for 15 years now.
Right. I was at the first
original Constitutional Defense course.
I was one of the first students, and all of my guys were, and we got to have a practice run of firefighting that you guys got to repeat here.
That's right. I forgot about that. Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
I mean, talk about coming around full circle. But during the first one, I pulled you aside and I was like, this is fantastic. But what about that gap when you can't get to your weapon?
Yeah.
Or God forbid, you already have a weapon on you. What do you do? Like, we should probably have some martial arts training. And we just kind of, as we inevitably do, it's not that it wasn't important. It's just it wasn't a good way to execute it. Yeah. And last, I think Christmas time, not last one, but the one before it, I sat down with you. I was like, hey, I got access to a good guy. Now we're really good friends. His name's Randy. He developed the hand-to-hand combatives for the SEAL teams in its most recent update. So
amateurs. He's just right. really, guys just playing around. Yeah. Nobody's serious.
No, not even.
Nobody at the top of the game. Not literally even close. The top of the food chain.
Yeah. I mean, the baddest dudes on the planet.
The baddest dudes on the planet. That's right.
So he literally, they scrapped their entire self-defense course and gave Randy carte blanche to hire the best Muay Thai guy, the best Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guys, the best Krav Maga guys, the best American wrestling. And he's like, okay, we're not attached to any of these systems. Let's just take what works and apply it. And scrapped anything that was religiosity reinforcement and just said, what works, what doesn't? And they came out with American Warrior Combatives. And when I say that, that's Randy's company that he started after he left the teams. And I met Randy through jiu-jitsu. We're both Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belts, and we met training and we were scrapping and having a good time. I got to know his story. I'm like, oh, you're a high performance human. I need to buy you lunch. Like, nice. We need to get to know each other. And so now he's officially partnered with Justin Jiu-Jitsu Academy. He teaches American Warrior Combatives at my
school. That's Tristan's Academy.
Yeah. I own Justin Jiu-Jitsu Academy. If you're in Justin, Texas, we would love to have you. I was like, and then we sat down after eating some tacos, and I'm like, hey, I think we'd do something really cool, because Tim Barton's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
Right,
good friends with Tim. I'm like, you put me, Tim, and Randy in front of a camera, it's going to be entertaining.
And it is.
And then I'm like, hey, we can come up with a base curriculum for people to complement their firearms training.
And you gave Tim one of the most fun times of his life, because Tim normally is like me, goes out and teaches history and gives presentations all day, but he is much more... he loves rolling. He loves doing jiu-jitsu. And so you gave him a chance to do both. He gets to teach on the history of the concept of self-defense and being able to defend your family, and then get to roll with you guys at a super high level. So that was cool.
And we came up with the just base curriculum. Like, hey, let's highlight four things that they need to know. And if they want to do a deep dive, they can go with Randy through American Warrior Combatives. And if they want to get some hands-on training, we'll eventually have that hands-on training here at the campus. Now, we're partnered with War Room Jiu-Jitsu, owned by Jay Choquette in Fredericksburg. And so they have an official partnership with Patriot Academy. So if they come to a class and they want to go take some classes for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, they can go. But I'm working on certification, because American Warrior Combatives, the company, is new. He doesn't have any certified instructors. And so I will likely be his first certified instructor that he basically puts a stamp of approval on and says, hey, Tristan can teach this. And then we're going to have that here at the campus in the near future.
When are you doing another live class where people could not live? Well, I guess it is live, but you show the videos, because you guys have this.
So we just ran it. Yeah, we ran. So there's four videos that we made with Tim Barton in the vault at American Journey Experience.
So you got all this history around.
It's 45 minutes of gold, because we shift from there to the mats at my academy. And you got to watch the course.
It's a great way if you've never done anything at all like this, it's a great way for you to be able to learn and observe, and then hopefully get fired up about doing actual physical training in your community, wherever you are.
Yeah, and you can do it at home, comfort of your home, with a partner. It's not anything that's super advanced. You need an instructor. We gave the four most rudimentary techniques that you could apply and drill with somebody. Disclaimer, use a rubber dummy gun for the gun takeaways, and use a dummy knife. Do not use real weapons for the practice rounds. Yeah. We say it in the video too, but There's too many stories of negligent discharges that just use dummy guns. It's $20 on a website. Easy, like Amazon, Walmart, doesn't matter. Just get a plastic dummy gun, super easy.
Now, this is terrible. I'm asking you on live radio here. I don't even know, like, how right now can they get – can they watch it on Patriot U?
So, yeah, go to Patriot U. Okay. Is it PatriotU.com?
Yeah, PatriotU.com.
PatriotU.com. Subscribe. It's $5 for access to all of Patriot Academy's curriculum. Biblical Citizenship of Modern America, Constitution Alive, Constitutional Defense Empty Hand course, Aggressively Average Networking course that we cut for you guys. We've got
Aggressively Average. What is
that? We've got some incredible curriculum all in one, a one-stop shop, Patriot Youth, for $5 a month. It's like Netflix for patriots who are taking over the country.
Or we citizens got that want to learn how to be a better citizen.
Amen. Well, you got the campaign coach curriculum on there, which by itself should be hundreds of dollars, and
even our you're right there by you is the Founders Bible reading. So for those of you that haven't gone through Founders Bible, it's this great compilation of articles that David Barton and Paul Jaley and all these people wrote that are essentially stories where people throughout American history and even before American history, pilgrims, all of that, where they applied the Bible to what was going on in their world. And so as you're reading through the Bible, you get a story of someone using that scripture to live out their life. And so
and it's beautifully illustrated.
Yeah.
And the article, you could literally just start at the front and work your way to the back, get your entire Bible in a year. And we have live readings of the article sans the scripture on Patriot U, to where you can listen to it while you're driving.
Yeah.
I love the Patriot U app,
or
because
while you're working out. I thought for sure you would.
I do. I actually out. I listen to you when I work out sometimes.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That must be like
the tavern's
not
on there. There's so much content that we're doing a terrible job of promoting. Yeah. PatriotU.com, or you can go to your app store and download it and subscribe through the app. And the app plays in the background while you're multitasking. And so you can listen to it while you're driving. You can listen to it when. Now, the martial arts stuff, hard to.
Right. You want to sit down and watch that.
Yeah, but the beginning of it is dialogue.
You can listen to the learning part.
Of course.
When Tim should be teaching the.
Yeah, Tim, Randy, and I are seated podcast style, and the dialogue came out way better than we anticipated. God's hand was on that course for sure.
It's very, very good. Okay, we got just a couple of minutes before our next break, so let's take at least one phone call before then. Phone number is 888-589-8840. You might have a question for Tristan about defense, or even just his walk with the Lord and coming to Christ. You might have people in your life that are atheists, and you want to know how to address them. And I just interviewed Ray Comfort the other day, who I know you're also a fan of, and that's going to air on Wall Builders next week.
But I'm so excited.
So fun. I love Ray.
Oh, he's so great.
He's amazing. All right, let's get it. No, go ahead.
2 seconds on Ray Comfort. He physically called me after I donated.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Wow, man.
I got a call from a California area code, and I'm like, who is this? I thought it was recording. I was waiting for him to keep going, and I was like actually Ray Comfort?
Like, no, I know that accent from New Zealand's got to be him.
Well, you know, so actually Ray Comfort. I'm like, wait, you're calling me live? Like, it blew my mind. I'm sorry.
Awesome. Livingwaters.com, really cool. By the way, if you're
not incredible content.
They are amazing. All right, first phone call up today is from Virginia. Mark, you're up first, man. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Rick.
Yeah,
I just wanted to say that the SAVE Act is unconstitutional because Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution does not give authority for Congress to regulate what kind of identification people should have when they vote. And the 10th Amendment says that any authority not given in the Constitution is to be reserved for the states respectively and for the people.
Well, Mark, I would agree with you if that was the only place it was addressed in the Constitution. And honestly, I'll tell you, when 2020 happened, my knee-jerk reaction was there's so much cheating and so much, you know, violation of the law here in the states that the feds need to take this over. And my friend Mark Meckler, who you also know, Tristan, Mark's like, dude, no, we don't want to nationalize the elections. However, there is a clause in Article 1, Section 4, Paragraph 1 that does give Congress the ability to modify election law. And so let me just read that to you real quick, Mark. It's the time, place, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature. So the state legislature gets to do that. But the Congress may at any time by law make or alter such regulations except as to the places of choosing senators. So that's the clause that they're using. And I think it's legit. I think it would cause a state to have two different elections if they don't want their state elections to have the same requirements. But for certain, Congress can, under that clause, make the regulations and rules for how your federal elections take place, which means just president, House and Senate. And then, you know, but I don't think any state is going to turn around and go, okay, well, we're going to hold two different elections. I think most states are going to then follow those rules and still have one ballot and one November election. But yeah, it's definitely not, you're right, Mark, it's not under Article 1, Section 8, but it is under Article 1, Section 4, Paragraph 1. You still with me?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, man, absolutely. And believe me, your knee-jerk reaction is right. Your instinct is right. Keep the feds out of it as much as you can, and only have them do those things that the Constitution says they can do. This just happens to be one of the things that they can do. I don't know if you watched at all. In fact, you kind of look like Mike Lee with your hairdo. Have you ever watched Mike Lee? He's amazing. I love this
guy. He's got a great haircut.
One of the best constitutionalists in the country, for sure. And he has been, I mean, I don't know how much he's
been. He wrote Written Out of History. I'm thinking of the same guy, right?
I think that's the name of it, yes.
Okay.
He's been in the Senate for, gosh, probably 12 years. Yeah. And the only time I've ever really disagreed with Mike Lee is he was not willing to object on January 6th with Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley for whatever reason. I think he had a very strict view of how the Electoral College was going to work and who could object and who couldn't. And honestly, I think he was wrong on that. But other than that, man, the dude's been an absolute champion. He's very much for, and I forgot the guy's name that just called, but he's very much for what he's saying, which is 10th Amendment, man. Keep the feds doing only those things they can do, and then give everything else to the states. But man, I mean, he was up on the Senate floor again last night. I'm not, you know me, I'm usually optimistic, Tristan, but I am not hopeful on the SAVE Act, simply because you've got these rhino wussy Republicans that sell us out every chance they get, and we still don't even know which Republicans are refusing to do the talking filibuster. Thune is protecting his members in a way that I don't think he should. All right, I think we got like 30 seconds or something here. Thoughts on the just the whole election debacle, because you know, you've come from not voting at all and not being involved to being very involved.
Yep.
Bringing a lot of people to the polls. You want to have faith in the elections. You want to know that there's not a bunch of manipulation.
Right. Watching Kamala Harris try to argue for or against voter ID was hysterical, not because she was a terrible communicator, but because there's no logical bias behind it. We have to show ID and identify ourselves for so many other trivial other things.
Yeah.
And as someone who was, I mean, I voted for John Kerry my first election, and I'm on this show. Okay. So like talk about.
We're not Catholic, but let me do some sort of weird, like, forgiveness of your sins.
Oh, I've repented tremendously.
Yeah.
And
we could do an indulgence. You could pay me for forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it went to the bricks, though. I got a bunch of those.
You've
bricks
already sponsored
out there.
Enough on the campus. Then. Yeah.
Yeah. You can walk on all the bricks.
All right. I got to interrupt you. We're going to break. We'll be right back. Tristan Gazelle, my special guest in studio. See a lot of phone calls out there. We will get to those when we come back as well. 888-589-8840. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Abortion moves fast, and right now in our communities, women are being pressured to make irreversible decisions in moments of fear and panic. They're told to act quickly or risk losing support. Many feel they have no other option. But because of you, they do. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman receives what the abortion industry will never offer. Compassion without pressure. Clarity about the life growing inside her. Real support to welcome her baby. And the hope of the gospel. She's given a free ultrasound and space to breathe. And more than 80% of the time, when a mother sees her baby on a preborn ultrasound, she chooses life. This March, Preborn is believing to save 6,800 babies, but it will take 124 partners saying yes every day. Here's my ask. Pause your busy day for just a moment and become a yes right now. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 helps 5 mothers. Every dollar helps save babies and share hope. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Waubman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Not sitting with Walker Waubman. I'm sitting with Tristan Gazelle. Tristan, our special guest in studio today. We're sitting here in the tavern at the Patriot Academy campus in Constitution City, Texas. Go to patriotacademy.com today if you want to sign up and be a coach, or you want to go to one of the courses that Tristan and I have been talking about, or you got a young person that, 17 to 25 years old, you want them to come spend 9 months with us on campus getting the things that Tristan was talking about in the first segment. Life skills, yep. Apologetics, biblical worldview, some good physical training, and jiu-jitsu and firearms training, that kind of stuff. Just a great year for them to, even if they already know what they want to do, it's a great year to cement for a launch. But most students at that age don't know, and they need a year like this to kind of figure out what
gives them the tools, no matter what they do,
that
they're going to be able to do what they do with excellence. Because one thing Patriot Academy has at least taught me in the, almost 2 decades I've been partnered with you guys, is that not only find your purpose, but do your purpose God's way, and God does everything with excellence.
Amen.
And these kids are coming out of this way better than they came in. We had one. So did they tell you about the push-up challenge?
No.
Did? No? Okay.
So I saw a lot of it in the chat.
So you have to read Ephesians 2:10 or 2:1-10. It's basically the gospel message, but each verse is a push-up. And so the challenge was for the next 40 days, put a camera on, do the push-ups, and they did fantastic.
A
bunch of kids who probably not done push-ups until they got here were now knocking out 10 push-ups while reading scripture.
Nice.
It's pretty cool.
Nice. Very cool. Very, very cool. All right, let's hit the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. Let's see. Let's head over to Oklahoma. Sherry's up next in Oklahoma. Sherry, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, but I am so frustrated with Jonathan.
Yeah,
can we impeach him and put Mike Lee in there?
I would love for Mike Lee to be the Senate Majority Leader. That would be a beautiful
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Rick, that I'm hoping you will know the answer to. We thought the talking filibuster was it. I didn't know till you just said some of the Republicans are refusing to cooperate. I shouldn't be surprised. Can't they? My understanding is John Thune could say, okay, the filibuster's out. We're going to vote. We're going with a simple majority. Doesn't he have the authority to do that?
Well, here's the deal. They've done this for decades, and David Barton and I have been, I think, intellectually honest from the beginning on this. In our very first Constitution class we created, we said the filibuster is wrong. They should to do it the way they do it. Basically, it's majority rule. That's the way our system is supposed to work. And the way that they do the filibuster now, it's not even a real filibuster. It's just turning a piece of paper. It's not Mr. Smith Goes to Washington anymore, where you stand there and talk as long as you possibly can, and then the next senator talks. It's a joke. It basically empowers the minority, whoever that is, Republican or Democrat. So even when Democrats had the majority and they were in charge, David and I were saying, sorry, I know it would hurt us to not have the filibuster the way that they do it, to not have 41 Republicans be able to stop bad stuff from the Democrats, but that's the consequence of elections. And right now we're on the flip side of that. We won the elections. The American people said, go do these things. Get rid of the rapists and murderers and pedophiles and other illegal aliens. Strengthen our borders. All the things that the American people said very clearly in this last election. We're now not doing those things, even though we have the votes to do it, because of this fake zombie filibuster. It should be that, yes, a senator, I would support the rules of the Senate being adopted to say that as long as a senator can talk, they can hold the floor and they can block whatever the piece of legislation is that they're against. But that will only last for as long as the body can physically do that, which is going to be, maybe 20 hours, maybe 30, whatever they can physically do till they pass out. Like Jimmy
what was Rand Paul's? It was like 20 something hours.
Ted Cruz did a really long one.
Yeah,
I don't remember how long Rand's was, but Ted Cruz did a long one. The last one to really do one, I think, was Cory Booker. I think it's a cool statesmanlike moment, right?
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for somebody to really, show whatever their knowledge is and to educate the American people on that. It draws attention to the issue. It can be a good thing. But to answer your question, technically, Sherry, the Constitution doesn't have anything about a filibuster. It's basically the Senate rules. And Jefferson was the one to do the Senate rules initially back in 1801. They kind of operated haphazardly those first 8 or 10 years, and then he set up a system of rules. But they have lately really manipulated that filibuster opportunity to allow the minority to rule. I think it's so offensive that Chuck Schumer is getting to call the shots right now. I mean, they lost the majority. Chuck Schumer should have no say whatsoever. He has a vote as a senator, but why is he getting to demand that we not fund ISIS, that we not deport rapists, murderers, and pedophiles? Why is he getting to even have a voice at the table the way that he is? Because of the manipulation of this filibuster. So, Sherry, I agree 1,000% they should get rid of it. I believe, yes, absolutely, I'd love to have Mike Lee as Senate Majority Leader. The challenge is, and of course, Tristan, you've seen this in our simulations, and even when you've gone down and watched the real legislature, the challenge is that your Speaker of the House or your Senate Majority Leader is chosen by the members, and they've got to try to make peace and cobble together the votes, and you almost always end up with a wimpy person in charge. It's rare that you get a strong personality that'll...
Especially, I mean, here in Texas, we've never had a really dominant personality in that role. It's always been... I'm getting better with my... I'm 41 now, and at 31, I would have said what I was thinking. I'm so proud of myself.
That's good. I actually, one of our Patriot Academy students came up with an idea that I think could work. If you look at the Senate in Texas, it is run by the lieutenant governor, who is elected by the entire state.
Correct.
Which means then the policy coming out of the Senate tends to reflect the what the majority in the state
in theory
wants to see happen, right?
Right.
In the House, the speaker is elected by the members. And so you end up with more of the politics behind the scene and the lobby calling the shots. So this Patriot Academy student said, why don't we do a constitutional amendment in Texas to elect the Speaker of the House statewide?
Ooh.
And I thought, you know what? That would probably be a very good change.
Golly.
So maybe we do a constitutional amendment that the House Majority Leader or the
leave it to a Patriot Speaker Academy grad to have that idea.
To have an idea like
that. Oh, that's fantastic.
Now, technically, to Sherry's point, I mean, maybe we don't need a constitutional amendment because the vice president is technically the president of the Senate. So J.D. Vance could walk over to the Senate. Now, I have some of my conservative friends saying, well, he couldn't just walk in and say, here's how we're going to do it. I'm not so sure.
I think he can.
I think it would be an interesting
challenge. The left would lose their minds.
They would lose their minds.
But they lose their minds anyway.
That's right. And some of the Republican senators would say, no, we adopted rules that the Senate rules would operate this way. Well, then I think he should say, okay, well, we're about to take a vote on the rules. And that vote
on
the rules,
we can change the rules whenever we want.
It's going to be 51, 50 plus one or 50 plus the president of the Senate. Anyway, I'm just so tired of them hiding behind this thing. And not the SAVE Act is so common sense. 82% of the country wants it.
Right.
And yet you have Chuck Schumer in the minority with only 47 Democrats able to stop it from happening.
Right. And they're using the TSA as the weapon, which is ridiculous, saying most of the people who want this don't want the TSA there anyway.
That's right.
And it's showing that the TSA shouldn't be there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I every time I go through, I ask for my TSA massage, and they chuckle. And then I always ask the agent, hey, you know what the Fourth Amendment is?
Not a clue.
They never know. Yeah. And so I have the design made. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. I'm going to. I want to have it with metal that shows up. I want it to be the Fourth Amendment on my shirt where it stops me when I go through.
That's a
and then they have
idea.
To pat me down.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I used to have a lot of fun with them during COVID because they made life so miserable for us.
Yeah.
And every time I'd go in without my mask and say, you got to have a mask. And I say, why? And they say, it's the law. And I'd say, what?
It's
a law.
Yeah. What law?
Yeah, what law? Show me. Well, it's an order or it's a exact. And I'd say, well, that's not a law. You know, who makes the law? The legislature. Remember that old I'm a bill from Capitol Hill?
Yep.
You know? So anyway. All right. We got a few minutes left. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in here. How about George in Missouri? George, you still with us, man?
I'm still with you. I got Parkinson's and I need a license to get my groceries.
There you go. So you still got to show.
There's another thing, too. Why don't in every politician's description, why don't they have it where if they don't do good for America, they get impeached? That would be nice. Or they don't get a paycheck, or they get fined for not making the government open up and doing bad things.
George, there was a senator the other day that stood up and said, I can't remember who it was now, but they basically made a motion that the senators would not get paid as long as the DHS, if our ICE agents aren't getting paid, the senators don't get paid. Similar to what you're saying. And, of course, shot down because, unfortunately, we have a Congress that exempts themselves from all kinds of things, and they get all kinds of benefits. Did you see that Delta said, we're not going to give you your special treatment?
God bless the free market.
I love it. I mean, you know, because apparently, I guess they probably were like giving them concierge service, like where they would meet them and they'd skip all the lines and they get to go, you know. So I love it. They basically said, "No, sorry, we're so busy because of what you've done that we don't have time to send anybody to give you special treatment." Love it, love it. But to that point, Tristan, I mean, I think the American people get sick and tired of feeling like their overseers get different rules than they give us peasants.
Amen. I think that's what created my original disdain for the political situation when I started waking up to all this stuff.
Yeah.
Was I'm like, rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah.
Is the antithesis of my understanding of what founded this country. I mean, we shot them over a 3% tax on our beverages.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, it wasn't just that, and I'm hyper aware.
Right.
But what we're putting up with now is disgusting.
Yeah.
And it would be like you coming into my home, defecating, and leaving. Like, this isn't acceptable.
I think we should have a constitutional amendment. It's one of the things I would push for at a constitutional Article 5 Convention of States. I think we should say in the Constitution that our representatives in the House and the Senate, all representatives, no exemptions.
Amen.
Of any law.
Why there's an exemption already is a ridiculous concept of I'm going to write laws for everybody else elected that I was elected here for, but it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
It's like, why, like, I think it was it Lauren Boebert who was complaining that she couldn't carry her firearm? I think
it was
her.
At the
and it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. And so, but everyone should be able to carry their firearm in the Capitol, which I know here in Texas, we can.
Amen.
Yeah. That's my favorite part of going to the Capitol is I get to go through the good guy line.
The fast lane.
Yeah. And rules for thee and not for me should disgust every American.
It should, and we should demand change. And you know, part of what we're doing here at Patriot Academy is raising servant leaders. A servant leader would never even think about saying,
"I'm exempt."
Well, if I'm gonna exempt myself from this law, I'm gonna make everybody else live under this, but not me. They would say, you know, actually, I want to think about what's best for the culture, best for the society, best for the next generation.
Amen. Well, and that's if I were to ever run, which right now I'm still really unelectable, but you notice that pause there when I was talking about the Speaker of the House. I mean, like, maybe 10 more years, so maybe get to that point where I can bite my tongue enough to maybe get elected. It's you don't go for you. I mean, Washington was the best example, and it kicked off our incredible government where, like, now it should be the default setting.
Right.
Is I'm here for who sent me here. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And it's
and I want
backwards.
To go home as soon as I've done what I'm called to do, or, you know, serve for a certain amount of time and then go home. I think one of the problems with the swamp, both the big one in D.C. and the smaller ones in our state capitals, is there's the longer you're there, you either become jaded and frustrated or down, and you just become numb to it and you don't fight as hard, or you become part of the problem. It's just really hard to resist.
Right.
That.
Well, that's why John left. Stickland. I mean, he's just like.
Well, I only know one guy, Phil King, a buddy of mine that I went in with as a freshman, you know, 30 years ago, that's still there and hasn't changed.
Yeah.
That is rare, man.
Rare.
There's a handful in D.C., but only a handful. And so I think it's better for them. I think it's better for their spiritual life, their personal life.
Amen.
Go serve. You know, I think 10 or 12 years. I think you can do that long and be effective for that long and come home. Man, 20, 25, some of these people have been there 40 years. Can you imagine being in D.C. for 40 years? You're hardly ever around the very people you serve.
Correct.
You're hardly ever around the people you grew up with.
And you don't live under the laws because of all the exemptions.
Yeah.
So you're oblivious on what
you're doing.
And
you're constantly being pampered, constantly having people, you know, serve you. And what can I do for you, Congressman? What can I do for you, Senator? And telling you how great you are. I think term limits is a must. We used to have a leadership that limited themselves.
I think I'm still... So you actually had me on the side of no term limits originally.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, what was I thinking?
I don't know. Well, because we have, I mean, like, let's take Massey or Paul or
Cruz, you got some
or, like,
good
some
guys
good guys.
No, that... I think Barton's the one that must have got you on the wrong side there.
Okay.
Yeah, because Barton and I have this debate. This is the only thing I disagree with.
So it was my second leadership congress, and Barton was speaking.
Yeah, that's what it was.
It was Barton. It was Barton.
There was one time
I blamed Patriot Academy for that.
Yeah, I'll blame. He got my kid. All my kids were against term limits, and so when he came and spoke against them, they were like, "See, Dad, we're right, you're wrong," you know. And but I finally won over a couple of my kids, so at least got the family split on it. It's actually the most fun debate we have at Patriot Academy because it's a process thing. And of course, David's position is, you know, we have term limits at the election.
You have term limits every 2 years, by theory.
And my position is, but the incumbent has too much power. It's too hard to, you know, 94% reelection rate because they have the money.
Elias Coop Gonzalez.
Well, that's true. He beat an incumbent. We beat him once in a while. Yeah. But I think spreading out the power is just good. And you spread the power out by saying, all right, you get 10 years, 12 years.
We have too stupid of an electorate to have no term limits anymore. Because originally it was, why would I not do my due diligence and make sure I'm voting for the person who best represents me? Now, we're lucky if they even show up to vote.
Right.
And
right.
if they do show up to vote, we're like, I'm a Republican, that guy. And it's like, they have no idea even how that guy got on the ballot.
Yeah. A Republican that is in name only, which is where that rhino term comes from. Hey, everybody. What fun. Tristan, thank you, man. Thanks for coming in today.
You bet. Glad it worked out.
It's been good. So check out patriotacademy.com. Send your young people to us. They can learn from Tristan and myself and Chris and David Barton and all the rest of our team, patriotacademy.com. In fact, we got our leadership congresses coming up this summer in state capitals across the nation. So get signed up as soon as you can. That's 16 to 25-year-olds. And then bring the whole family to Constitution City and go through one of these classes and maybe even get beat up by Tristan.
Can I tell them about the Patriot Experience?
You got 10 seconds.
10 seconds. I did the Patriot Experience with my daughter. She's 14. I got to write legislation, take it through the whole process together. It was fantastic.
Good stuff. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to At the Core.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.